Should we do this?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah, we haven't finished yet. Don't worry about that.
Let's do it.
Right, let's do it. Welcome to the 12 Man Podcast, live, uninterrupted, apart from that. And yeah, raring to go. Got me, Steve Jackson, I'm in the main chair, as usual. Got my sidekick back. Evening.
Evening.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Good. In recovery mode now, but yeah, all good.
Looking tanned.
Thanks very much.
Good holiday.
Lovely.
Good. Good break.
It was.
Good. I'll ask you what you thought about Chelsea in a minute. Got Mr. Steve Dixon with us. Evening, Dicko.
Evening, boys. You okay?
Yeah, we're doing good, mate. We're doing good. And doing good. The legend himself, Mr. John Donovan. Evening, John Dam.
Now then, are you okay?
Yeah, we're doing good, mate. We're doing good.
Yeah, mate, me too.
Good, I'm glad. yes, so we'll talk. We'll talk Millwall. We'll talk transfer rumours. Because there was a couple of funny ones today. You heard one today, didn't you?
I did indeed.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. I heard one, which I giggled at. We'll preview Rotherham, because Rotherham's it's another big game. Another big game on the stride towards the playoffs. So, but before we start, I know what Dicko thought about last Tuesday. I don't know what you two thought, though. I'll start with you, Will Cuts. How was last Tuesday?
I had a few beers in the sun, went to a pub. There was me and one other Middlesbrough fan surrounded by Chelsea fans. And all the missus said to me the next morning was, I'm surprised you didn't get your face smashed in last night. Because when that goal went in, I was all over the place and at full time. I couldn't have been prouder of the lads. I had my shirt on. This is our club. Everywhere we go. Do you know what I mean? I was absolutely buzzing. It was a great performance. They're not flying, but they've spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds. Massive proud night for me, that. Loved it.
Oh, it was something else. I mean, that's why we had to put a little special out on Thursday, just to review what happened on Thursday and Tuesday. God almighty. John Don, reflect on Tuesday night for me. I know you were on with us on Thursday night, so I'm down to get your thoughts, because I saw what you did when we scored, and I've never seen anything like it. Goal.
Yeah, like everybody else, it was a great night, great performance, atmosphere superb. Gives us a chance going into next Tuesday now, doesn't it? So yeah, it was fantastic. What we all really hoped for, didn't know what to expect, but thoroughly deserved on the night.
Yeah, and I mean, I described it on we described it on Thursday, but the noise when that ball went in the net. I've been in the North Stand for years and years now. I haven't heard the North Stand quite like that, that noise as many times as I heard it on Tuesday night. It was absolutely incredible, wasn't it?
Was superb. Great night, and like I said, whatever happened second leg, we've always got the memories of that superb night, the Riverside. But I'm still hopeful.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched the replays back yet, but when I was watching it originally, should we not have had a penalty as well? Has anyone watched it back? It looked like a penalty to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
In the first minute, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Off was hauled down. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. I know we were sat here last Monday saying, thank God there's no VAR and all that, but if VAR was actually there, we'd have had a penalty.
Yeah.
There's no ifs or buts, so never mind, it's fine.
It is
1-0,
so good.
1-0 going to Stamford Bridge next Tuesday. We'll preview that next Monday. Looking forward to that preview. That's going to be a good one. And that trip down next Tuesday is going to be something else. I obviously can't wait for that. I really can't. But right, here we go. Before I start on Millwall, are we all right?
Spot on.
Absolutely bang on.
Bang on, perfect. John looks like he's going to about to take your order. So if you get your orders ready.
Matt Johns.
I hope that's not like endorsed or copyrighted or anything, because that's us taken down. But anyway, so Millwall Saturday, big game, wasn't it really?
Yeah, I think we're all Middlesbrough fans. We all probably at the back of our heads were thinking, after such a big result and performance on Tuesday, we'll go to Millwall and it'll be typical Borough. But I thought we started a little bit slow for 25-30 minutes. But I thought after that, I thought we played all right, to be fair. I was impressed with the two new signings. I thought they both fit in really well for their debuts, especially with Aylin. I'm trying to find a word to say without swearing of exactly what he is, but he's exactly what we needed. I think he'll get in people's faces, he'll wind people up, and he's constantly looking to go forward as well. And I think he'll be an excellent signing, mate.
He's the master of housery, isn't he?
That's the one.
There we go, housery, that's the word we're looking for. I just thought of it then as you were talking. I thought, I'm sure they say housery on them and TalkSport, so I'm going with that. Right, John Don, obviously a bit of a delayed kickoff on Saturday due to obviously the problems with the tunnel being closed under the Thames. Poor team took, I think it was reported, 90 minutes to get from Canary Wharf down to South Bermondsey. I think you were there quicker there, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, they should have come with us. when I heard
no, they shouldn't. We wouldn't have won 3-1 if they had.
when I heard that the bus was late, I had visions of Leo sort of like hauling taxi drivers out the cabs and moving cars to get the bus forward. But yeah, well, I mean, we didn't have any problems. We knew about the Blackwall Tunnel being closed, so we come a different route. But we were at our pub. Which is about 4 miles from the ground. We were at our pub for 12:15. We left there just before 2, and we were at the ground for 20 past. So, like I said, I'll get Steve on the phone. And I'll just tell him the lads can travel with us. We'll pay a full rate. They're not getting any discount, and they can come with us, and we'll get them on time.
Yeah, just don't take any of the refreshments that anybody on that bus offers you. Will not walk away.
They're away from the bar. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Keep away. From...
No, it was a great trip down. It was like trouble free, to be honest. There was no holdups for us. Well, like I say, we made the pub in good time. Pub looked after as well, and it was fairly smooth getting to the ground. And we were there at 2:20, I think it was. So we got there, and then just shortly after that, the team bus arrived, but it was empty, so they must have dropped the players off, and he'd driven around and parked with the other coaches. So we'll have arrived at about the same time as the players, but then the announcement said what an hour delay, so that prompted people to have another drink. And yeah, we were all set. It was a great trip down.
Yeah, good. Jason's just put, I'm going to need a bigger bus. Yes, you will. Diggle, what did you make of the team?
I was quite happy with the team. I thought it was good. He freshened it up, bringing in 3 or 4 different players that haven't played against Chelsea, which were obviously lucky to have a couple of new signings to bring in as well. It was a decent lineup. I was slightly surprised Hackney didn't start, but he's just come back from injury. It was probably a toss up between resting Johnny Howson or resting Hayden Hackney. So I was fairly happy with the lineup. I was fairly attacking. An exciting 3 sitting behind the striker with Azaz coming in, and obviously Isaiah Jones and Rogers playing in the number 10. Or was he? Well, he sort of shifted around as the game went on, Rodgers, didn't he? With him and Greenwood and stuff. But the front four looked like they could pose Millwall a lot of problems on paper, and they actually did as the game progressed as well.
Yeah.
I think the one thing I noticed on Saturday, I put it in our little group chat before the game, the bench is starting to look really well, a lot stronger now than it has done in recent weeks. And that's still with a fair few players away on international duty and a fair few out injured. So it's all positive, and we're in January now. We're only 1 point off the playoffs. You know what Steve's like. He'll do. He'll be hell-bent on trying to strengthen us as much as he possibly can. And if we can just bring in, I don't know, 1 or 2 players in certain positions, we've got a real chance, I think, especially with getting these players back. O'Brien's massive coming back for us, for me.
Oh, God, yeah. That was, I mean, we mentioned that on Tuesday. The little shock of Lewis O'Brien popping up on the bench. That was a bit of a where's he just come from kind of thing. But it's such a relief to have him back. So, right, well, we'll start with the negative. I know you want to start with the negative, don't you?
I'd be the only negative of the night, but it seems like we're here every week talking about how Engel doesn't stop the ball getting crossed into the box, and I don't know what's going on in training, or if it's just him being poor. I know it's early days, I'm not writing him off, but again, it was poor, and then the ball came in the centre half, bit of a weak header out, and you know, it was a bit, let's be honest, it was a little bit lucky because that shot wasn't going in until the guy deflected it, but I don't know, it is what it is. It's the only negative on the game for me, that he can't stop crosses coming in.
Right. Yeah.
Where was the deflection?
The striker knocked the original shot in, didn't he? The forward knocked the original shot in, not a deflection off a defender.
There you go.
Right. I am right. Yeah. That did happen, didn't it?
I thought you were going to have a longest conversation. That's why I looked away, sorry.
he did deflect it in front of goal, didn't he, the striker?
No. He was a fullback who scored it.
Yeah.
It was a fullback. If the player who was in front of the keeper, if he'd have got a touch to it, it could possibly have been offside. Yeah, are you thinking the guy who went with his head?
No, I thought he kicked it in with his foot. I'm going to double check it now, though. I might be wrong. You're probably right, to be fair.
the ball broke the edge of the box. The fullback Brian, he came in and struck it across Glover, and there was a player standing in Glover's eye line who tried to head it in, actually missed it, and it went straight in. And like John says, it was touch and go to whether that player would have been offside had he had to touch it. But it was a good strike by Brian, and it was a good finish. And
yeah,
when you play a Millwall away, I always think if you can just go there and keep it tight for the first 20 minutes and keep them quiet and quiet the crowd down, we've always got a great chance down there. And after 16 minutes or whatever it was, we're a goal down, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a real tough afternoon. But as it happens, Middlesbrough got their act together massively, you know, just before half time and into the second half, and I thought it was quite comfortable in the end, to be honest.
Yeah, they were a bit fortunate. It was a good finish from the fullback, but it was a bit fortunate how it fell to him, because the lad with his back to goal tried to get the ball under control, and he miscontrolled it, and it fell kindly to Brian, fullback, and he put a good shot in. Like I said, Glover, I thought he had his vision impeded, and yeah, it could have been flagged for offside, but it wasn't. But we started slow. I think we were still stuck in traffic, to be honest. We started slow, but we gradually improved as the half went on.
Yeah, we did.
Had a great chance, didn't they, just after that Millwall, when they hit the crossbar, the centre half come in. Cooper, he should have burst the net from 4 yards, and he managed to hit the crossbar. If that goal goes in, it's probably a completely different game. But you get rubs of the green in matches, and we've had our fair share of bad luck. And that was a little bit of fortune for Middlesbrough. And we got ourselves back in the game, dusted ourselves down, seemed to shake off the cobwebs. Like John was saying, we started a bit slowly, whether that was because of turning up late or what have you, or the Chelsea game having a bit of an impact. But I thought when we settled ourselves down and started to play, it was pretty evident, even in the first half, that they were going to struggle against our front four. We seemed to catch, when we caught them on the break, we seemed to have too many ideas and too much pace for the game to continue in Millwall's direction. And we had a chance just before we scored with Greenwood, when Azaz laid it off. No, was it Rodgers?
Rodgers,
and Rodgers was just put a little bit wide by Azaz, and the keeper saved it, and that just seemed to galvanise when, you know, you could see they were struggling with our front four, and we got the goal back before half time, which was a great time to score, because you know, John was there, I'm sure, massively lifted the away travelling support, and you could see it lifted the Middlesbrough players, and then you were back in the game, and I thought from that moment on Middlesbrough took control.
Yeah, you're right. We should have been 2 down. I mean, that big lump of a centre-half, huge fella he is. It was easier to score, you know, and he sort of struck the bar and it went over. Yeah, that was luck, a bit of luck that we needed. But we settled down. We were keeping the ball well. We were limiting them to, apart from the first 20-odd minutes, limiting them to sort of very few very few and far between chances. And you were right about the setup there. I thought it was a very clever first time touch of a pass from Azaz, and Morgan Rogers couldn't beat the keeper. It came out to Engel, who blazed it way over. But we were starting to get into the game at that point. And then it was only minutes later when Greenwood put a beautiful ball. You know, he took his time, he looked up, and he just rolled it into Engel, who had an open goal to tap in. Going in at 1-1 was vitally important, because I wouldn't have said we deserved it at that point, if I'm honest. But we got the equaliser. Like you said, Dicko, our fans were going into half time thinking we're going to get this second half, so it was a big boost for us.
Yeah, it was. I'm not Dicko, but yeah, it was. It was a great time to score. I always say that time between 10 minutes towards half time to half time, that's the time to score if you really are going to get a goal. And I noticed as well, you could see the players from Millwall, their heads were dropping. As soon as that goal went in, they thought, oh, well, you know, we should be 2-0 up here, and we're not. We're 1-1 all of a sudden. And you could sense it was a matter of time in the second half. And then I know it took a mistake, but it was a great finish from Jones, wasn't it? He composed himself lovely, shake the keeper up, and he slotted it in nicely into the left-hand side of the keeper's net.
He's had a bit of stick this year, Jones, and I think it's a little bit unfair, to be honest. He's still a relatively newcomer to this type of level of football. He had a bit of an in and out, few problems last year. But I like him, mate. I think he's a threat. When he's on form, he's definitely good enough for a playoff team in a championship. I mean, his ball to Greenwood for the first goal that played Greenwood in. I know Greenwood's ball was good as well, but so was Jones. And the more that these lads play together, you've got to remember, we've got maybe 6 or 7 players that can play wide of the striker and behind the striker. And they're learning each other's games as well. And it's only going to get better and better as the season goes on, once the lads understand where they're going to make the runs, what they're best at, and what have you. So, yeah, it was a great finish by Jones. I've just praised him. Did I fancy him to score? Probably not, but I'm glad he smashed it in the back of the net.
I thought he was very clever. I think he realised that it was a good ball, a good spot from Azaz, and I think he realised that it wasn't going to beat the defender. So rather than go on the outside, he cut back in to anticipate the defender's header, which he did. He picked the ball up, and We've seen a few times with Jones one-on-ones. He doesn't always get the end result, but he smashed it home, and I smashed my shins against the seat in front. It was fantastic.
I mean, what's he got now, goals-wise, Jones? He must be above 5, isn't he, now?
Keep talking, and I'll find out.
And then add on his assist as well. I think he's been quite valuable to us this season.
I think, to be honest, on Saturday, it was one of his poorer displays. I thought he looked jaded, whether that was because he was one of the few that played the full game against Chelsea, and then it was a tough game down Millwall. But he looked a bit jaded and a bit lethargic. But because he's got that X factor, he's got that pace, he's always got in the game. Isaiah Jones will always have a moment in a game of quality, and you know, it's making that quality count. And on Saturday, he really only had a couple of moments in the game. But like John Cutler was saying, lovely little pass into Greenwood for the first goal. Sharp as a needle for his own goal to anticipate the bad header back. Great finish by him. But other than that, in the game, he was sluggish and not his normal self on Saturday. But he's always a match winner because he's got that pace, he's got the creativity, he's got the skill. At our level, let's be honest, in his position, how many players would you take ahead of him in the league? Because I wouldn't swap him for nobody. Me, I think he's a real threat. And it's good to see him back after his troubles last year, scoring goals, creating goals, and above all, playing with a smile on his face. There was great footage at the end of the game, and coming off with Marcus Force, and they both were laughing and joking. And it's good to see. So, you know, wide players particularly, they're drifting and out of games, and they're not going to be brilliant every week, but as long as they contribute with big moments in games, you know, that's all that matters, and that's what he done on Saturday.
Well, it'll have done him no harm, you know. I mean, I don't know the player personally. I don't know whether he's a strong-minded character or whether he's a bit fragile here and there. But we all know about the troubles that he's had in his sort of like private life that he's managed to come back from. And, you know, he's a player that needs confidence, and that will have done him a world of good.
Yeah, absolutely. He was, he was really good. On Saturday, I was really impressed with Jones. I thought it was quite a mature performance as well. I thought he'd there's games where he'd have done what he'd done, but then been a bit rash with his like final decision making. But I think that's come along quite nicely. Jeff Allen's popped up and he's got my answer as well. He's got 5 league goals, 6 in all competitions this year. There you go. So
that's more than the top goal scorer for Millwall.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I found that out by watching you on Talk TV last night, Steve. So I found a little bit of information out. But yeah, I mean, considering we had no recognised centre forward to go away to the Den and win 3-1, I think it's an impressive result.
Well, you say that, and then we come to the third goal, and you said Marcus Forst came off the bench, who I think is an absolute shoo-in for a number 9. No. I really do. Stop shaking your head. He's an absolute shoo-in. He's Stuani 2.0. He needs to do what Karanka didn't do with Stuani. Put him up top. Because he got the ball for that third goal. One touch, bang. Didn't even think about it. He knows where the goal is. The man knows where the goal is. And I thought, I mean, John Don described what they did to that away end, because imagine it going absolutely potty.
No, it was. It was because, you know, I mean, it was... virtually at the end of the game, we were all already singing. The only bad thing about it was it ruined one of our charity bets, didn't it? We had 2-1. One of them had 2-1 and Jones, and it ruined that. But hey, do you know what? So what? It was a good finish, just from the edge of the 18. Nice little setup by Morgan Rodgers. But you know, you talk about him as a number 9. There, I'm not entirely sure. I don't know. I'm not averse to him being given that chance, but I'm not sure if we could go out and get a recognised striker, number 9, you know, then yeah. But if we don't, and until Coburn and Latilaf both get the fitness back, then he may be an option.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just think, I don't think he's an out-and-out centre forward either, but I think he's possibly a better option than the players we've got currently fit. If you take Coburn and Laff out of the conversation, I think he's probably our next best option. And Jeff's just tweeted in a little statty, and I saw it on Twitter last night. Last season, with Akpom on fire, we had 42 goals in 27 matches. This season, with most strikers injured, 41 goals in 27. Thoughts? Well, the thought to me is that all them wingers and the players who are playing behind are all contributing to the goals.
Absolutely.
They're all massively improving, them forward players.
Absolutely.
People have stepped up. Sorry, John. Go on, you're all right.
No, I was just going to say, you look at the players who've made it onto the score sheet. You know, we've had goals from Forrest, we've had goals from Rodgers, we've had goals from Greenwood, Jones, Brooks. So there's quite a few. The goals are being spread about now, whereas last year we were relying on Akpom by and large, and then after January, Archer coming and done his bit. But, you know, to be just one goal behind last year's goal scoring record at this particular time, I think it's quite impressive.
I agree.
The number of injuries we've had.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, the reason being obviously is the injuries. Last season we had a real set, strong start in 11. You know, very rarely changed. And this season, because we've had an injury crisis, we've had to rotate heavily. And it's credit to the players that have come in, because they've stepped up. They've seen it as a chance to impress Michael Carrick, and each one's had to come in. And they've all chipped in. And it's an impressive goal tally. Regarding Force, I agree with both of you for your comments regarding him. And I do think he's probably the next best option, like John Cutler was saying. However, in my opinion, if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. Marcus Force has done a really good job for us coming in from that right-hand side. Yeah. And if you think about it logically, the goal on Saturday, where was it from? It was Morgan Rogers with a delightful pass, disguised pass to bring Force in on the right-hand side where he plays. He coming on his right-hand side and smashed it in the bottom corner. Great finish. Now, I'm like you. I wouldn't mind if he had to play him up front time to time while I was struggling. But what I would say is I still believe that we need a centre-forward if we're going to make that top six. And if we don't, it's going to be a struggle to make the top six if we don't bring in a centre-forward with the injury problems to Latte, Lath and Corbyn. And I'd also say that even if we do make the top six, we will not get promoted unless we bring in another centre-forward, because when it comes to the nitty-gritty of the playoffs and the quality sides of the playoffs, we need a marksman to take us to the Premier League. So if we can financially bring somebody in that's, even if it's just till the end of the season, that's better than what we've got and gives us another option in that role, I think Middlesbrough should be all over it. And I almost think we're downplaying it at the moment with Michael Carrick and his press conferences trying to say it's not a necessity, we can rotate, we've got players who can fill in. I think that's all a bit of a smokescreen, because teams don't want to know, you don't want to give teams, you know, Middlesbrough have got money and desperate to sign a striker, they've got injury problems. So I think it's a little bit deflection tactics by Middlesbrough, but I think behind the scenes they're trying everything possible to get a centre forward in. And if we do, I would go as far to say is we'll be the playoff favourites, because I think we'll get in the playoffs, and if we get a top centre forward with the players we've got coming back, we could win it.
Yeah, we're in a good position. I mean, 1 point behind now, and hopefully we've had the worst of our injuries. We'll have players coming back in February, obviously from the AFCON and the competition that Australia in. I don't know what that is.
Asia Cup.
So, you know, it's good to see players coming back. Dykstra's nearly ready for a return, and obviously we brought in Azaz and Aylin. So it just gives us, like John Cutler said earlier, a strong starting 11 and a good bench, which is vital, because you know that the games are coming thick and fast. I mean, this is the first week we'll have a full week to prepare since Leeds on December the 2nd. We had a full week, then we played Ipswich. So that after that, we've had two games a week consistently, you know. So this is time now to prepare for the Rotherham game and put right what they're nicked off us down there. But we're doing all right. I mean, I'd love us to sort of like just keep plugging away, keep ourselves in the hunt. I don't want us to peak too early. I'd love us. My perfect scenario would be for us to get into the top six on the last game of the season, and that would really sort of the fans would have the momentum, the club would have the momentum, and you know, it's not necessarily always the case that the teams who finish third and fourth go on to get promoted. It has happened that the fifth or sixth teams got there. So, you know, as long as we're in the top six after the final game of the season, I'll be more than happy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think this probably is the perfect time to go in, because you've got that momentum behind you, and you know, all the odds are with you. But
I mean, you know what though, I think we'll have the momentum anyway, even if we got in the playoffs fifth or sixth, like four or five games before the end of the season, because we haven't been in the playoffs all season. We've been sitting down mid-table all season. We've had an injury crisis. If we come late in the season with a good run and we get all these players back from injury and suspensions and all the rest of it, and just say we've managed to sign a number nine in January, I think all those teams will be fearful of Middlesbrough and they'll want to avoid us like the plague in the playoffs. Because yeah, they'll look at Middlesbrough's bench and go, we can't compete with this.
I just think that you look at last season, you know, we were comfortably guaranteed a playoff spot with quite a few games to go. Yeah. I didn't think it played to our advantage, if I'm honest. I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but like I said, my wish would be that we have to win on the final day to get in, and we do that, and the atmosphere and the sort of momentum will certainly be with us then.
I think the slight difference from last season, John, is though we had all our best players fit until the last few weeks of the season, and then we went into the playoffs wondering whether Ramsey was going to be fit, whether Housen was going to be fit, and let's be honest, Akpom got an injury, and I think that's what cost us promotion last season. What I like about this season is hopefully if we get into the playoffs, whether that be on the last day of the season for excitement, like you say, or like I would prefer a few weeks earlier for my heart rate, we'll be going into it with all the players back in a strong position, going into it like full strength, full tilt, confidence going, you know.
Yeah, you've got to hope so, because we've had terrible luck this season already. You've got to hope that our luck turns and we stay free of any serious long-term injuries from now on, you know, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, yeah, that's all you can do, really, isn't it? But I think there's only one team that will look at us and think we could have them. And that's Leeds. And you were saying there about people, teams look at our bench. Look at Leeds' bench. You know what I mean? They've got some players on that bench. They had Joel Pirro on the bench on Saturday, didn't they? You know what I mean? That's a striker I absolutely craved. I craved for Borough to have in the summer. I'd love for him to have been here.
I mean, there's a few decent teams in the playoffs. I think West Brom are a bit of a dark horse.
Yeah.
No one's talking about Southampton. Their last league defeat was against us, aren't they?
They'll finish second, then.
They're absolutely flying, then.
Yeah, they'll finish second, then.
Unlike you, I'm not particularly fearful of Leeds. I think if we get all of our players back...
I don't fear them.
I don't fear any of them teams in the playoffs. Yeah. I'd like Southampton to go up automatically, because I think they're the next strongest after Leicester. I think if we played Leeds over two legs, or at Wembley, dare we say it, I think it would be absolutely belting, and I think it'd be a 50-50 game.
Imagine Leeds at Wembley.
Well, yeah.
The thing is, yeah, there's 19 games to go, yeah. Lots to happen. So, you know, we're talking about the playoffs, which is great, because a few months ago, you know, we couldn't really see this being a strong possibility, but we do now, which is great. We've improved. Carrick's done fantastically well to keep us picking up points with all the obstacles that have been put in our way, with injuries, suspensions, losing players. So we'll just keep on plugging away and stay in the mix, and then let's see what happens.
He's got an old head on young shoulders, any managerial wise, Carrick.
I thought you meant me there.
I would have said a young head on old shoulders. But at the start of the season, we were really struggling, and he didn't get too low. Then we were absolutely flying, he didn't get too high. We had another bit of a lull, and now we're starting to put some results getting together. I know I've talked about Chelsea, but I loved his reaction to that goal last week. It was brilliant. You rarely see it from Michael. He's really calm, and it was great to see.
There's only two times I've seen him react like that. Obviously Chelsea, Sunderland away.
Oh, he loved that. Yeah,
he loved scoring against. Obviously being a Georgie lad, being a Wall's End lad, he loved getting one over the Mackems, and he saw. Yeah, and he's look at the teachers he's had.
Yeah,
obviously he's had Sir Alex Ferguson as a coach. He's worked under. I think he worked under Louis van Gaal as well. Jose Mourinho. You know, he's had great teachers. And I mean, we've met him, and you know, he could have had the finest meal of his life, and he just looked and just went, "It was all right, that one." Yeah, sound all right, nice one. But yeah, I think we've got one of the best managers in the league by a long, long way, and we just got to enjoy him as long as he's here.
He's doing well. He's highly rated. He's well talked about. No one seems to have a bad word to say about Michael, either in this club or from outside either of the clubs he's been at. So, yeah, it's a positive for us. And let's just hope we can do something this year or at the latest next year, because I think we've maybe got if we're still in this division in 18 months' time, I don't think, sadly, we'll have Michael here.
Nah, he won't be here. There's no way.
I think we'll be trying to negotiate a new contract for him. I think rumours about Crystal Palace looking at him, and there'll be other teams looking at him in the summer if Middlesbrough feel to get to the Premier League. And it would be nice for Middlesbrough to tie him down to a new long-term contract, which at least means if he does go, Middlesbrough will get well compensated for it. So I think he's quite happy here. He's in the northeast. Yeah. We're doing really well. I'm sure if we don't get promoted this season, you know, Steve Gibson will be assuring him that there's going to be a decent transfer kitty for next season. We're going to be in a more secure place next season because obviously we've made a lot of signings this summer and hopefully in January. So we haven't got the overhaul like we had last summer. So he might actually fancy his chances if we don't make it this season, certainly next season. I would be very surprised if Michael Carrick didn't fancy his chances for automatics. Plus, the teams that are going to come down, I don't think are going to be as strong as this season. I think it's been a really tough league this season, having your Leicesters and your Leeds and your Southamptons. You look at the teams potentially that are going to come down in the summer. I don't think that's as fearful or as difficult for Middlesbrough to navigate next season.
And to add to the teams that came down as well, the teams that came up from League One, I think we've been quite tough this year. I say, I think it's been a good calibre of league this year. Sorry, crack on.
Yeah, we've just got it. One of my favourite contributors to this show, Miss Sophie Dixon, has messaged Dyke Steele or Aileen. Well, for me, Sophie, I think that tells you all you need to know about where they see Dyke Steele's future at this club by signing Aileen. So I'm sure you agree with me and not your dad.
I think the second emoji does it for me, the hand over the mouth. She knows what she's done here. She knows exactly what she's done here.
You're on about Michael Carrick and the possibility of him moving on. Well, I hope he's looked at previous well-renowned international class players like Lampard and Gerrard and Rooney, who've made a step too big too early, and it's not worked them. I'd like to see him cut his teeth here for another couple of seasons, but we don't know. We just don't know. But I'd like to see him sort of like get more and more experience with us and to take us up. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
That'd be great.
But you never know.
It's nice to see a bit of loyalty, like what we've failed to have of certain managers lately. It would be nice to see Michael Carrick, you know, show the loyalty to the borough. Who were given his chance in management and are no doubt paid him handsomely, and he's getting his team together, he's getting his squad together, and you must fancy your chances if we don't make it this season, next season, for Middlesbrough to get up. So I would like to think he would sign a new contract and maybe give us certainly this season and next season, and then if it doesn't work out and somebody comes in from, fair enough, but it would just be nice for somebody to show Steve Gibson a bit of loyalty, because it's been sadly lacking in managers of late.
When you mentioned loyalty there, I thought you were going to mention Sophie's loyalty to her father, talking about Dyke Steele.
Hey, no, in all honesty, she does like Dyke Steele. She's a fan of Dyke Steele, and like me, she wasn't a massive fan of Aileen because of his housery, shall we say. But what I will say, I think after going doing a full flip on the head when he's signed to now and watching him on Saturday, I think it's going to be a good signing for Middlesbrough till the end of the season. Lots of experience in the dressing room, in and around the players. His performance on Saturday was everything that we used to dislike about him.
Yeah.
Getting stuck in, time wasting, winding up the Millwall fans, laughing at the Millwall fans. But having a little bit of quality on the pitch, I thought he was excellent for his first performance in a long time, and I think he's going to be a really important player forward until the end of the season. Now, Dyke Steele coming back, I think that's a plus as well.
Yeah.
It's good to have competition. We've got cup games, thick and fast. You know, midweek games. Aileen's 32. They'll probably rotate the two of them, hopefully, till the end of the season, with no doubt Aileen playing in the most important fixtures, but I think having Dyke Steele back's a big plus as well.
Oh, so I think the two new lads did have decent debuts, and it was I thought it was quite clever of Carrick that when we went 2-1 up, he quickly changed Trucks on for Azaz, you know. So it was a good introduction for both of them. And again, like I said, Carrick's done well with his subs. It's something that some fans criticise him for, but I thought he'd done well.
He's learning, isn't he, John? He's learning on Saturday, like you said, at the second half, when he changed the tactics back to a back five with the wing backs. He took off Jones and Barlasa, who was having a decent game, and put on Clark and Hackney. And Clark was outstanding when he put him on, and won everything that come in the box. And Hackney just helped keep Middlesbrough on the ball and ticking over in the middle of the park. And it was really good to see Carrick evolving as a manager and sort of knowing when to change things a little bit earlier. But if I've had a criticism, it's he waits too long to change things or make substitutions. But if late, you know, Aston Villa changing his tactics, Chelsea changing his tactics, some of it being forced on him, no doubt, but having the tactical awareness on Saturday of when to do it, you know.
Yeah, I took one up. He made the changes to protect the lead, but we also still had a threat up front, which obviously we scored the third goal from. So yeah,
bang on.
Decent.
I mean, as Sophie would say, we call Ailing new Ayala Housery. Ayala used to do exactly the same thing.
I like that. In fact, Sophie, can we replace the Dixons? You can come on. You can come on next week, and your dad can talk on Facebook.
We all know that John Cutler'd rather my mum was on, didn't you, John?
I think she'd rather be on as well.
Oh, on that beautiful nose, I'm gonna quickly move on to your man of the matches. Who's your horse cut?
Whoa, come back to me.
Go back on holiday.
Ailing. There you go.
Fucking hell.
Ailing.
That's the first one of the year getting there. I'm gonna need to put a pound and swear, Jack, I know. it's because he's shouted. Yeah, Ailing.
I'll go Ailing.
I'll match that. Diggo?
Well, I'm going to agree, Mr. Cutler. Luke Ailing was my man the match, which I never thought I'd ever hear myself say in a Middlesbrough shirt. But Luke Ailing, man the match, thought he's outstanding. But I have to give a shout out for the Goalkeepers Union. I thought Tom Glover was excellent in goal, very commanding, caught everything,
kept
very confident.
In the game.
Very, very confident, good hands. Everything that seemed to come at him, he seemed to hold on to, and there was nothing bouncing off him. His kicking was good. And you know, you're on about Glover being an able deputy to Senny Dieng. I actually think he's going to really push Dieng to get back in the team if he continues, because as good as Dieng is with his feet, I'm starting to wonder whether Glover is actually a better shot stopper than Dieng, because he seems to make a lot more big saves than Dieng does, in my opinion. And I've been really impressed with him. He's just seemed to have got better and better and better game by game. And I think it's going to be a real battle between the two of them till the end of the season. And that's great for Middlesbrough.
Yeah. John Don?
I was going to have a discussion about the Glover, because the goalkeeper, because Glover was my man of the match. So Dicko's just said it. He wasn't at fault for the goal. He couldn't do anything about it. Other than that, I thought he was solid. Yeah, good game.
How old is Glover?
Very good
question.
23. Funnily enough that you mentioned Glover there, because me and Steve were talking just before we came on air
26.
About how impressive he's actually been. And I think it is a conversation to be had. I mean, what would it say to Glover if Dieng comes back and he gets put straight back in, if he keeps performing like this? Because, as you know, I'm a massive advocate of if you're playing well, you keep the shirt, and he hasn't put a foot wrong for me.
Spot on.
No, 26, you're right. Sorry, Steve, 26, yeah. I thought he's a bit younger than that.
He's got an old head on young shoulders, John.
Right, let's move on then. transfer news, got a bit of transfer news, room-wise. There's one player I want to ask, he's all about as well. But I'll wait till these rumours come out first. Go on, I'll let you start.
Before we came on air, I saw that we were linked with Liam Cooper from Leeds, centre-half. In my opinion, maybe not as good, but very similar to Lenihan. More commanding, can win headers. He's out of contract in the summer, and I think if we can get him a half-decent, small fee maybe, I think he'd be a good addition to this squad, mate, to come in like.
The silence is definitely
there,
great.
There we go then. At least one of us thinks so.
The silence was beautiful there, wasn't it? I mean, the one I saw today, I mean, Tuba Akpom has had to come out and say he's happy at Ajax, he needs to fight for his place. But there was a small room that we did ask the question if he wants to come back. So
it wouldn't surprise you, but I think it's probably a little bit of lazy journalism of linking him back here. But
I said that too, didn't I?
But I mean, if he became available on a loan, none of us would turn that down, would we?
No.
I'd be amazed. I've got absolutely no chance whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, no. I don't think that. I think he wants to keep his fight up with Ajax, so fair play. But I want to get your opinions on Paddy McNair. I know Paddy's not in the first team picture at the moment. I think he's still injured at the moment, isn't he? His contract's up in the summer. Nothing's been mentioned at all about him potentially discussing a new deal, nearly signing a new deal, or what's going on. Are we getting towards now seeing the last 6 months of Paddy McNair in a Borough shirt?
Probably, but I'd be a bit disappointed me if we're in this division next year if we didn't try and keep Paddy, because he's another player that gets a lot of stick, and a lot of it's unjustified for me, because I think he's a solid pro at this level, and he's never put a foot wrong, really. Like outside the changing room, never caused us any problems even when he's not been in the team all the time. I think he's a solid pro, and I'd like to keep him personally.
I'm sure
big
one, Johnny. All right.
I was just going to say, I'm sure discussions will have taken place, but like I say, we're negotiating a different sort of level of wages now, aren't we? So whether or not we can persuade him to stay for another year on reduced terms, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I don't think there's no discussions taking place. Mm. It's just nothing's come out in the press.
He's on one of the most expensive, you know, wages that we've got at the club, because he was signed in different times and rumoured £20,000-£25,000 a week is being rumoured. And if you're going to pay them type of wages for a player that is going to probably be at best next season a squad player, you can see why Middlesbrough would like to keep him, however, on massively reduced terms. Mm. And I think the player himself, after being here quite a while now, might fancy a move himself in the summer if he knows he's not going to be a regular in the first team. So I think it might be a good move for Middlesbrough financially and for Paddy McNair in the summer to part waves.
Yeah. So quickly, from each one of you, you already said, yeah, you'd keep him.
I would keep him, but obviously on reduced terms.
Yeah.
But do I think it'll happen? I think he'll probably go in the summer.
Yeah, so to say, will he go, yes or no, you think he'll go?
I think he'll go.
Yeah. I think he'll go. Diggo, do you think he'll go?
I think 100% he'll go in the summer, yeah.
Yeah. John Don?
Yes, more than likely, yeah.
There you go. There you go, Jason. There's your full house. Sorry, mate. He asked me to ask the question. So, yeah, we all think he'll go. Right. Rotherham. Got 10 minutes to talk about Rotherham. Well, not Rotherham itself. Don't have to talk Rotherham for 10 minutes. Another big game. Another big game. But I think this is a better one to look at, because we've got a week's rest. Like John Don said, it was the first time we've had a week's rest since the beginning of December. Got players coming back in. Potentially a couple more coming back in. You've got to fancy your chances, haven't you, really?
Yeah, I think we'll fancy our chances. Yeah. We should have won the game down there, really. We all saw it. We just didn't take our chances. Personally, I'd be surprised if Housen or Hackney even start the game on Saturday. I think O'Brien will come in and play with Barlasser, because I think they'll save them for Chelsea. I know it's a big game, it's a league game, but I'd be surprised if either of them two start on Saturday.
Would you?
Would you
not give them 45 minutes?
I think we'll probably start without them and see how the game's going after an hour. Mm-hmm. If we're in a commanding lead, I don't think we'll see either of them in the whole 90 minutes, because they're going to have to put in some legwork against Chelsea. And, yeah, like I say, I'd be surprised if either of them start. We've got options. We've got O'Brien and Barlasser, who can play centre midfield.
Yeah.
They're huge players for this football club. And I think to look at the bigger picture sounds wrong, but we've got a huge game coming up after Saturday.
Oh, there we go. Colin Fry's put the big stat out. Rotherham haven't won an away game in the last 30 away games. Cheers, Colin. That's that gone. Superb. John Dan, what's your feelings on Saturday? Surely it's got to be another 3 points we have to target. I say Rotherham are at the bottom. They're still bottom, aren't they?
Chef Wedderbottom.
Yeah, the bottom, yeah.
Chef Wedderbottom, aren't they?
Are they?
I think they are.
No, right, someone look at the table, right? Because I'm not having you going back and forth.
Let's not discuss this for the last 8 minutes, though. Come on, crack on.
Yeah, no, it, it, yeah, it's it, it's a key game. It's just about getting the win. We've got enough options now to be able to put a strong team out and still have a strong bench and rest players, whether they be benched or just left out altogether, and rest players for a massive game on Tuesday. We should have enough to beat Rotherham. Like I said, it still irks me that we didn't take all 3 points down there. Where would we be now? With those 3 points, it really sort of, yeah. We need to get the win. I'd like us to do it fairly comfortably, but as long as the scoreline shows that we've got one more goal than them on Saturday, I'll be happy.
Yeah, same here. Who said Rotherham were bottom?
I did.
There you go, you were right.
Rock bottom.
Well done.
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom. There you go. We've even put some WWE into your life. So there you go. Dicko, thoughts on Saturday?
I think it's a big game. It's an opportunity to stop what Middlesbrough have done all season, which is two steps forward and a step back. Yeah. We've got a great win against Millwall, great win against Chelsea. You're going against Rotherham, full strength, and you win the game. Simple as that. I'll be absolutely fuming if I see three or four players rested for Chelsea. You go full strength. They have won one game in the last 16, and that was against Middlesbrough. We owe them one. We need to get out there full strength, put them in the place, play them off the park, and win the game. Now, if we're in a comfortable position, I've got no problem with Carrick making four or five changes second half and resting people for Chelsea and taking players off.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in no position as Middlesbrough Football Club to take any team lightly and think we can just rest players for Chelsea. You go out there full strength, play them off the park, win the game, then you take your Hackneys off, your Housens off, you take off your best players. No problem with that at all. But don't take your eye off the ball. That would be a huge... Can you imagine losing at home to Rotherham? What it would do for the confidence of that team and the fans going to Chelsea? I think it would be a hell of a lot better, 4,500 Borough fans going to Chelsea and the players after a 3-0 win, hammering Rotherham at home. I think that would be far better for everybody at Middlesbrough Football Club. So, no, full strength for me, otherwise I'd be fuming.
There you go.
Fuming.
Well, I think we've got a great choice across the middle and on the wings to be able to still rest players and win that game comfortably. So, you talk about Azaz can't play against Chelsea, neither can Greenwood. So there's two options straight away. And then you've got Balassa, House and Hackney. Jones, Force, there's a hell of a lot of choice. Morgan Rogers, there's a hell of a lot of choice there. So I think we can still put out a very, very strong team and keep one eye on Chelsea on Tuesday. I'm not saying take the game lightly by any stretch of the imagination, but just be wise, be smart.
Yeah, there you go, Michael Carrick. You've been warned by a fellow Geordie. Do not take it lightly.
I don't think you will.
I think the lucky thing is we played Rotherham so recently as well. I say it was only 3 weeks ago that we played them. So, and yeah, that was really knocked me off that one. I can't see him taking it very lightly at all. And like Dicko said, bring the players off after an hour that you need to. A bit like what he did against Villa when he took Hackney off after an hour and said, there you go, that'll do. That's your time. And we need 3 points at the end of the day, don't we?
We do.
You know what I mean? It's another 3 points that could be towards our playoff push. With that being said, prediction wise, I'll let you take over all this one now.
I'm gonna go for 3-0 anytime goal scorer.
Lovely.
Steve, you'll give me yours earlier. You've also gone 3-0.
I have. But
with Force, anytime goal scorer.
Uh-huh.
What about you, Dicko?
I will go 4-0, Rogers, anytime scorer.
JD?
2-0, Akpom. No, 2-0 Greenwood.
There you go. That was nice and easy. 2-0 Greenwood. Hopefully we'll get another charity bet in, because they say we did. We've got two in now.
Yeah, so we're up to £386 that we've got so far. Let's hope we keep pushing on, and some local charities are going to be benefiting from our expertise at the end of the season.
I was 60 seconds on Saturday off another 30 quid or whatever it was into the kitty. 60 seconds away. I was actually disappointed when the third goal went in, because I thought it was another few quid in the charity kitty, but it's not the end of the day, is it? The end of the world. We still won.
Yeah, we're doing well, boys. Like we say, a local charity is going to benefit, and it'll go to a good cause.
I know. I say we'll let you all know towards the end of the season who we'll give it to, because I don't think we've collectively decided as of yet where the money's going. Hopefully we'll get another one in. But there you go. That's that done. Finished. Lovely.
Enjoyed it. And we're finished on time as well.
I know.
2 minutes early. Does anyone want to fill in for a couple of minutes? You two are good at talking. Why don't you crack on?
No, you haven't had an argument yet. I've had an argument. But that's been all right, hasn't it?
That's been a nice positive show, hasn't it? And
yeah,
hardly any negatives. So yeah.
Yeah,
long may it continue.
You at the beginning, then we've got on lovely after that.
Got to say what you say, haven't you? As Roy Walker would say.
Oh. he's made an appearance for the last 3 months. That man. Yeah. Someone, if you go back and listen, someone said say what you see at least once for the last 3 months.
Tell you what we can say briefly for the last 2 minutes. I've been really impressed with Rodgers in the last few weeks.
Oh, yes.
I think if you look at the players we've brought in, they're all really comfortable on the ball. You can see what the scouting team's trying to do. And at the start of the season, they were getting pelters. I think with a few of them signings, I think a year or two here, we're going to be making decent profits on all of these lads.
At the start of the season, I got pelters.
I've got one for John Cutler.
Oh, God. Go on then.
Has he been impressed with Mr. Dale Fry the last few weeks?
When Fry plays well, I'm always the first to say it, and that's what irks me the most about him, that I know how good he can actually be, that he's not that consistent. That's the reason why he's not playing in the Premier League, and that's the reason why people are banging our door down to take him away.
Yeah.
So when he's not playing well,
mm-hmm.
get him out of the team. We've had centre-halves that have come in and played really well as well. I mean, Vandenberg, for me, how old is he? 18-year-old, 19-year-old? He looks so good at the back.
He looks brilliant, doesn't
he? He is going to be some player, that lad, for us, I tell you.
And he looks a unit as well.
Yeah.
We'll struggle to keep him here for many seasons.
He's got an old head on young shoulders, John, hasn't he?
He's got a young head on old shoulders, you mean?
And on that lovely note, right, I'll say goodbye to you all. Thank you for popping in. Welcome
pleasure
back.
As always, yes. Pleasure. Thank
always
you.
Good to have you back. You'll be back next week, won't you?
Yes.
You won't miss a Chelsea preview.
I'm not going away on holiday again, yeah.
Yeah, I've got my wing band back. Gentlemen, thank you so much for popping on and chatting. Always good to chat to you. I'll chat to you during the week, and then see you on Saturday, no doubt. Yeah.
Always enjoy it.
Always enjoy it, mate. And people listening, thank you for listening, getting in touch, liking, subscribing, commenting, and coming on as well. If anybody wants to come on, drop us a message. You know, we're more than happy.
Tell your friends about it. If you like it, tell your friends about it. If you don't like it, tell us. Tell us what you don't like. We're always open to
I thought you were going to say tell someone who cares.
No, not at all. We are open. It's good. Any feedback's good feedback. So if there's anything we can do to improve the show, like binning one of them off, then just let us know. We'll do it.
Yes, I've already had requests to say, can we get Bandy back on? So there you go.
Bandy's always great.
He's great, isn't he, Bandy? I'll try and get Bandy back on for next week, preview Chelsea. So, thank you very much.
He's getting married shortly as well, so congratulations to Bandy.
I know.
And commiserations to Mrs. Bandy.
So there we go. Thank you very much, boys. Toodaloo, arrivederci, up the Borough. I'll talk to you next week.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough, lads.
Cheers, lads. See you later.
Cheers, boys.
Class that.